Our passage this morning is from Luke chapter 10, and it's about two sisters named Martha and Mary. We'll see a conflict between these sisters, with one upset with the other. It's a short story, and it centers around the topic of hospitality. And this has been a recurring theme in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus spoke to the 70 about hospitality before sending them out. Then he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is about urgent hospitality, right? Giving refuge and healing to the injured. Today, we will learn some right and wrong ways of doing hospitality. Beginning in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Jesus was continuing his journey toward Jerusalem, and he entered a village where a lady named Martha welcomed him into her house, and we're told that she had a sister named Mary. This is the first mention of Martha and Mary in the Gospels, and John 11 gives us more information about them. There we learn that they lived in the village of Bethany, and they had a brother named Lazarus. Jesus had been rejected by certain villages as he traveled, but in this instance, he was received, which was a good thing. Instead of rejection, Jesus was met with kindness. He was invited into the home, and this is why we read from Genesis 18 a moment ago. Yahweh appeared to Abraham with two angels, and they appeared in the form of men. Abraham fixed a meal for them. He welcomed them in. He showed his visitors hospitality. And then they delivered the word of God to Abraham that Sarah would bear a child. Abraham showed them hospitality, and then they gave the word of God. This is similar to Luke 10. Jesus, God in the flesh, in the form of man, was shown hospitality. Martha did the right thing, just as Abraham did. She was being a good host. She welcomed Jesus in, and then Jesus delivered the word of God to those present. Jesus was shown hospitality, and then he delivered the word of God to them. It tells us that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. That means Jesus was teaching and others were learning. He was received as a prophet, and Mary was among those attentive. What about Martha? We'll find out that Martha was not sitting at Jesus' feet. She was not being attentive to his word. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Martha was distracted with much serving, meaning whatever she was doing to be hospitable, preparing food, drinks, maybe cleaning up the dishes, etc. Whatever it was, Martha was distracted. She was distracted from Jesus. And she was resentful of her sister for not helping. So herein lay the conflict. This was the problem between the sisters. Children, have you ever been told to do chores around the house and you thought that your siblings were not doing enough? You were doing more work than anyone else, and it was just so unfair that you had to do it all and no one else was helping. Well, that is how Martha felt. And she wanted Jesus to do something about it. She went to him about it. She wanted Jesus to intervene on her behalf. She wanted him to correct Mary and put her to work. Well, if Mary wants to listen to Jesus so much, I'll get him to make her help me. This was Martha's thinking. Now, I don't think we should beat up on Martha too bad here, okay? We need to keep things in perspective. Martha was a follower of Jesus. Martha loved Jesus and she served Jesus. She was the one who welcomed him in the first place, right? She even addressed him as her Lord, which shows submission on her part. All of that was good, but she was distracted. Martha was most concerned with what she wanted in that moment and what she thought was important. Perhaps worst of all was the implicit accusation she placed on Jesus. She said, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" You see, Martha's frustration wasn't just with her sister. It was also with Jesus. Since Jesus didn't make Mary serve, Martha's conclusion was that Jesus didn't care. He didn't care. How did Jesus respond to this? Verse 41. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Jesus gave a rebuke to Martha, though gently. I imagine that his tone was very gracious toward her. This wasn't a Pharisee or a scribe coming from a place of rebellion against Jesus. This was a friend and a follower of Jesus. And we could even say that Martha's distraction came from a place of good intentions. Okay? I'm sure she had good intentions in doing what she was doing. But in her attempt to serve and take care of many things, she neglected the most important thing, which was the guest. The guest, Jesus. Martha had invited Jesus in, which was right and good. But then she let herself be distracted from her guest. She was not sitting at his feet. She was not being instructed by his word. Mary, however, made the better choice. She was not distracted from Jesus. She was listening and paying attention. And Jesus was not going to take that away from her. Mary was in the right. Okay, Martha wanted Jesus to correct Mary. Well, it was actually Martha who needed the correction. Mary was in the right. It was wrong of Martha to be upset with her. Martha should have been more like Mary in this instance. She should have been sitting next to Mary at Jesus' feet all along. And it's not that Jesus didn't care about Martha. It's that he knew what was best for Martha. It was different from what she wanted, but he knew what was best. This was Martha's time to stop serving. This was Martha's time to stop serving and to be served by Jesus' word. The story ends without telling us what Martha ended up doing. It just ends with Jesus' correction. That's it. But given what we know from John's gospel, that Martha continued to follow Jesus, I think we can safely assume that she submitted to Jesus' correction. I imagine her saying, "You're right, Jesus," or "You're right, my Lord, I'm sorry," and then joining herself with Mary and the others. How might this story apply to all of us? There are some lessons here for us to learn. The first of which is, do not be distracted from Jesus. Do not be distracted from Jesus. We can all be like Martha sometimes. We get so concerned with things that we get distracted from what's most important. What is it that distracts you from Jesus? Are you making time for him during the week? Are you praying and reading your Bible on a regular basis? That is how you spend time in his presence. That is how you sit at his feet. If you're not doing that, you need to examine your routines, maybe examine your laziness, and make some improvements. And believe me, I understand the difficulty with this. Okay, I know how hard it can be. I am preaching to myself just as much as I am preaching to you. But we cannot be distracted from Jesus. On Sunday mornings, we are called together to worship as a corporate body. That is being in Jesus' presence. You are being served by Jesus' word right now in the sermon and all throughout the liturgy. And those of you here today, you made it. Praise God. You were not so distracted that you skipped worship. That's a job well done. But sadly, some Christians are in the habit of skipping worship, which is a form of being distracted from Jesus. Being distracted from Jesus. Of course, I'm not talking about exceptions. You're sick, you're injured, things like that, okay? But skipping worship when it's not necessary. Even while you're at church, you could be distracted, can't you? Are you saying the responses and singing the songs, or are you zoning out? Are you listening to the readings in the sermon, or are your thoughts elsewhere? Are you distracted by your phone? Did something distract you from getting here on time? Don't be distracted from Jesus, whether at home or at church. The second thing we learn is that being distracted from Jesus makes you worried and troubled. Being distracted from Jesus makes you worried and troubled. Jesus said Martha was worried and troubled about many things. She was distracted from Jesus, and the result was being worried and troubled. If you are not remaining in Jesus' presence, you can expect worry and trouble to come your way. If you are not remaining in his presence, you should expect worry and trouble to come your way. To have the peace of Christ in your life, you must abide in him. You must cultivate your relationship with him. And this is why consistency in worship, prayer, and Bible is so important for your Christian walk and for your spiritual maturity in Christ. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that if you just pray enough or go to church enough that you will never be worried or troubled about anything. No, of course not. There are many ways that Christians can become worried and troubled. But the sure way of being worried and troubled is by not abiding in God's word. That is the sure way. That is when it would be the expectation. And third, we learn that when things don't go our way, it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't care. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't care. You've probably had times in your life when it didn't seem like God was answering your prayers or he wasn't intervening like you thought he should. Maybe you prayed like Martha, "Lord, do you not care?" But we must resist that way of thinking. You need to remember that God's ways are higher than your ways, and that nothing can separate you from his love. Jesus does care for you. He cares for you more than you could ever even imagine. It's not that he doesn't care. It's that he knows what is best. He knows what is best for you. And by faith, we must believe that. And when he corrects us, like he did Martha, we must submit to his correction. As his creatures, all we can do is submit to His will and His plan. Finally, we learn that true hospitality, the hospitality that Jesus desires, is hospitality that pays attention to the guest. When you have people over to your home, which I hope many of you are doing, there is always things that you could be doing. Serving, entertaining, cleaning. Those things are fine and good, but they are secondary. Listening to your guest and valuing your guest is the good portion. Your guest should be the highest priority. Not so much in giving them things, okay, but in seeing them as the gift. They are the gift to you. You shouldn't think of hospitality as you just providing a service to people. You need to think of it as you receiving a gift. If you don't have much to offer, that's fine, because that is not the point. It is the guest who has something to offer you. The guest has something to offer you. If your attempts to serve your guest end up distracting you from your guest, then you're doing it wrong. You're being like Martha, not like Mary. And neither should you resent the work that goes into hospitality. Preparing for guests and cleaning up after guests can be tiring, stressful, frustrating. But you should not resent those things. They are a small price to pay for the gift of having guests. You will be blessed by them and they will be blessed by you. And so you need to know that your work is worth it. Your work in having people over and serving and being hospitable is worth it. Be like Mary, who prioritized the guest. Receive Jesus as Mary. Receive Jesus and receive one another. Be hospitable to your family, friends, and church members. Don't miss out on the gifts who are right before you. The gifts who are right in front of you, which is each other. And don't neglect the greatest gift, the greatest guest of all, who is Jesus, your Lord. Continually sit at His feet and continually abide in His word.